Okay, so we all know climate change is like this massive challenge, right? But what if I told you the real push for change isn't coming from governments?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Today, we're diving into some research that suggests cities and even individuals are making waves.
Okay, so not top down, but more like bottom up.
Exactly. We've got reports on cities setting some seriously ambitious climate goals way beyond what their countries have promised. And there's even some fascinating research on like the psychology of turning concern into action.
It is true that national and international agreements are essential, but there's definitely a shift happening. I've seen similar things in my own research.
Right. And by the end of this deep dive, you'll understand not just why this shift is happening, but also get some ideas on how to, be part of the solution.
Awesome.
But first, let's be real. The climate situation is, well, kind of serious.
Yeah.
Reports like the future of climate action suggest even the UN might be underestimating the issue. CO2 levels, for example, are the highest they've ever been recorded, which is a huge deal for our oceans.
They're absorbing a massive amount of that CO2, right?
Exactly. And that's leading to big problems for marine life.
And it's not just the oceans. Those rising CO2 levels are driving up global temperatures too.
Yeah, it's scary. We keep seeing the hottest years on record, one after another.
And it's playing out right in front of us, melting glaciers, rising sea levels, crazy weather events.
Okay, so if things are this urgent, why aren't we seeing more action? It feels like people are worried, but.
Yeah, the research points to this disconnect between concern and action. It's like many people feel overwhelmed, like they don't know where to start.
Makes sense. So if governments are slow to act, who I stepping up? Is anyone?
This is where the idea of subnational actors comes in. Think cities, regions, businesses, even communities, all taking action independently, like they're not waiting for permission.
So it's not just a couple small towns doing their own thing.
Not at all. This is happening on a global scale. There's the C40 Cities Group, for example, with almost 100 major cities working together to meet the Paris Agreement goals. Then you've got the Carbon Neutral Cities Alliance, taking things even further and aiming for 80 to 100% emissions reductions.
Wow, 100%. That's incredible. But why do cities seem to be better at this than, entire countries?
A few key reasons stand out. One is that cities often feel the effects of climate change first, so there's this sense of urgency. They also tend to be more agile, able to experiment and scale solutions faster.
Ah, so it's like they're these little test labs for climate action, coming up with all these innovative ideas.
Exactly. And there's one more important factor. People generally trust their local leaders more than national governments.
Oh, that makes sense. So there's more buy-in for city-led initiatives.
Exactly.
Okay, so enough theory. Let's get into some specifics. What are some examples of these game changers that cities are actually implementing? The report mentioned things like zero emissions buildings, for one.
Right. Buildings are huge energy consumers, so setting those zero emissions standards for new construction is a big deal.
So that means from now on, any new building has to be super efficient and powered by renewables.
Yep. It doesn't solve the issue of all the existing buildings, of course, but it's a big step in the right direction.
Makes sense. And the report also mentioned EV charging infrastructure. Like, if we want people to switch to electric vehicles, charging needs to be easy.
And their city's already showing us how it's done. Shenzhen, China, for instance, already has the world's first all-electric bus fleet and adds tens of thousands of EVs to their streets every year.
Wow, imagine a city where you hardly ever see gas-powered cars. It's like a glimpse into the future.
And it's also a great example of how cities can tailor solutions to their context. Shenzhen already had expertise in electronics manufacturing, which they leveraged to become a global leader in EV tech.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about finding what works best for each city.
Exactly.
So what else? What other creative solutions are cities coming up with?
Well, some are focusing on recovering organic waste to create compost. Others are electrifying heating and cooling systems. And some are even going car-free in certain zones.
It's inspiring to see all this city-level action, but I think what our listeners really want to know is what can one person actually do about this?
Yeah, I get that.
Can individuals really make a difference in the face of, a global crisis?
That's the million-dollar question, and the answer is a resounding yes. Even though it feels like this massive problem, individual actions can and do have a ripple effect.
Oh.
And there's a whole field of psychology dedicated to understanding how we can make those actions more effective.
This is where it gets really interesting, right? Like the folks at ideas42.org have identified 12 principles from behavioral science that can be applied to climate action.
Cool.
And some of them are pretty surprising. For example, they found that you're more likely to install solar panels if your neighbor already has them.
Oh yeah, that's the power of social norms. We're influenced by the people around us. It's not just about logic, it's about what we perceive as normal behavior.
So, if we want to create a culture of sustainability, we need to make those actions more visible.
Totally.
But let's be honest. We all know the basics, right? Recycling, turning off lights. What about those less talked about actions, the ones that could have a bigger impact?
That's where things get more challenging, but also more rewarding. It's about going beyond the surface and considering, like, some bigger lifestyle
Okay,
choices.
like what? What kind of things are we talking about?
Well, the report highlighted a few things that really make you think. For example, having fewer children.
Whoa, okay. That's a big one.
It is. It's a sensitive topic, but overpopulation is a major driver of climate change.
I see what you mean. Each person consumes resources and produces emissions over their lifetime.
Exactly. And again, it's not about judging anyone's choices, but acknowledging that they have an impact on the planet.
Right. So, what are some other impactful choices people can consider?
Another big one is reducing our dependence on cars. I know going completely car-free isn't an option for everyone, right? Ditching the car entirely isn't for everyone.
Boy.
But even reducing car use can make a difference, whether it's walking more, biking, or taking public transportation whenever possible.
Yeah, for sure. Every little bit helps. And there's so many added benefits. Better health, saving money, less traffic.
Exactly. Even small changes add up. And there are so many benefits beyond the environmental impact, like better health, saving money, and reducing traffic congestion.
Speaking of tough choices, the one I'm grappling with is air travel. I love to see the world, but I'm increasingly aware of the environmental cost.
Yeah, air travel is a big one for sure. It's incredibly carbon intensive, but there are ways to fly less, or at least fly smarter.
Like what? Give me some ideas.
Well, you could consider exploring destinations closer to home, maybe even rediscovering the beauty of your own region. And when you do travel further, look into train travel or buses. They're often more scenic anyway.
Those are good points. And I guess when flying is unavoidable, choosing airlines that are committed to reducing their emissions and offsetting their carbon footprint is key.
Absolutely. It's about voting with your dollars and supporting businesses that align with your values.
Okay, and I think we have to talk about the elephant in the room when it comes to personal impact diet. We touched on plant-based eating earlier, but I think it deserves more attention.
I agree. Animal agriculture's impact on the planet is huge, from greenhouse gas emissions and deforestation to water pollution. Shifting towards a more plant-based diet is one of the most effective ways to reduce your environmental footprint.
Yeah, and I'm not saying everyone needs to go vegan or vegetarian overnight. Even just reducing meat consumption and incorporating more plant-based meals into your week makes a difference.
Exactly. And the great thing is, plant-based eating is becoming more mainstream and accessible every day. There are incredible restaurants, cookbooks, and even grocery store options that make it easy and delicious to enjoy more plants.
It's not about deprivation, it's about discovering new flavors and ways of cooking.
Right. Plus, let's not forget the health benefits. Plant-based diets are linked to a lower risk of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and some cancers. It's a win-win for you and the planet.
I think what's resonated with me most throughout this deep dive is that we're not helpless. We have more power to make a difference than we often realize.
That's such an important takeaway. Climate action isn't just something happening at the government level. It's happening in cities, in communities, and in the choices we make every
You
day.
don't have to wait for someone else to fix this. We can get creative, take ownership, and build the future we want to see step by step.
And here's a final thought. What if this rise of subnational action is a sign of hope? What if it shows people are waking up, recognizing their power, and demanding change from the ground up?
That's a really inspiring thought. It gives me hope that we can turn this ship around. For those wanting to explore this further, we've got a bunch of resources linked in the show notes.
And be sure to join us for our next deep dive, where we'll be exploring the world of regenerative agriculture and its potential to fight climate change.
Until then, remember that every choice matters. Get out there, make a difference, and let's create a more sustainable future together.
Yeah, I hear you. For a lot of people, ditching the car completely just isn't realistic.
For sure. But even small changes can add up. Like, what if you tried walking more? or biking.
Taking public transport whenever you can.
Exactly. Every little bit helps. And there are so many benefits beyond the environmental impact, like better health, you know, saving money, less traffic.
Yeah, totally. It's funny. The thing I personally struggle with the most is probably air travel. I love to see the world.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
But I'm also becoming more and more aware of just how much it impacts the environment.
It's true. Air travel is a big one. Super carbon intensive.
Yeah.
But there are ways to fly less, you know, or at least fly smarter.
Okay, I'm listening. Give me some ideas. What can people do?
Well, have you ever thought about exploring destinations that are closer to home?
Maybe rediscovering some of the beauty in your own region.
That's a good point.
And for longer trips, look into train travel or buses. They're often way more scenic anyway.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess even when you can't avoid flying, supporting airlines that are, you know, trying to reduce emissions and offset their carbon footprint is important.
100%. Voting with your dollars, supporting businesses that are aligned with your values, it all matters.
Speaking of which, I think we have to talk about diet. It's kind of the elephant in the room, isn't it? When we talk about personal impact, I mean.
Totally.
We mentioned plant-based eating before, but I think it's worth digging a little deeper.
For sure. I mean, think about it. Animal agriculture has a huge impact on the planet, right? Greenhouse gases, deforestation, water pollution. It's a lot.
It really adds up.
And shifting to a more plant-based diet, one of the best things you can do to reduce your footprint.
And just to be clear, I'm not saying everyone needs to become vegan overnight. Even just cutting back on meat, adding more plant-based meals into your week, it all makes a difference.
100%. And you know what's really exciting? Plant-based eating is becoming so much more mainstream.
It is.
There are so many amazing restaurants, cookbooks, even grocery store options. It's never been easier or tastier to eat more plants.
Yeah, it's not about deprivation anymore. It's about discovering new flavors, new ways of cooking.
Right. And don't forget about the health benefits. Heart disease, stroke, diabetes, some types of cancer, all linked to eating less meat.
Seriously, it's a win-win all around.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's really stuck with me throughout this whole conversation is that we're not helpless. We actually have the power to make a difference. More than we realize sometimes.
I completely agree. And that's what's so exciting about this rise in what we've been calling subnational action. Climate action isn't just something that governments do. It's happening in cities, in our communities, in the choices we make every single day.
It's true. We don't have to wait for someone else to come fix everything.
We can get creative, take charge, and build that future we want to see one step at a time.
I love that. So where do we go from here? Any final thoughts?
Well, what if this whole trend we've been talking about, all this subnational action, is actually a sign of hope?
I like that.
What if it means people are waking up, starting to see their own power, and demanding change from the ground up?
It really does give me hope. Hope that we can actually, you know, turn things around.
Well, for anyone listening who wants to dive in and explore all this further, we've got a bunch of resources linked in the show notes.
And definitely join us next time. We'll be exploring the world of regenerative agriculture and how it can help fight climate change.
Awesome. Can't wait. Until then, remember, every choice matters. Get out there, make a difference. Let's create a more sustainable future together.